VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. We thank you for listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor. So glad to have you along. And friends, we'll get right to it with a huge stack of news in front of us, which Sandy has been compiling all this week. And she actually said something of the effect that it's been maybe even a little bit of a lighter news week. And I'm like, from the size of the stack of these papers here, I don't think it's been a light news week by any stretch of the imagination. God willing, over these next several moments here, minutes here, this next hour, we'll be talking some Trump, we'll be talking some Pence, we'll be talking some President Biden, we'll be talking Hillary, we'll be talking vaccines, Elon Musk's brain chips. If we can get to that story, we're going to be talking about AI. You've heard about the artificial intelligence that is seemingly going to have the capability of destroying mankind as we know it. Can you believe these headlines that we get every week? Of course, there's news out of Ukraine. And then if we don't get to hardly any other story, God willing, we're going to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners. The women there, the girls there, winning their third straight women's College World Series in softball last night, and you've got to hear what some of these ladies said in the post-game press conference. We have that clip. God willing, we'll get to that. It's going to bless you. It really is a blessing, and we all need to, as one of the girls there was saying, eyes up. We all, especially as Christians, we must keep looking up despite the news of the day. But our thanks to Justin and Dennis and those in Master Control who are just helping to keep things going here today. On the top of the stack, it's I don't want to call it bittersweet because he's went on to his home, his eternal reward. But most likely you heard about the passing this week of Pat Robertson, the CBN founder, passing away at the age of 93, founding the Christian Broadcasting Network. He passed away Thursday. Pretty humble beginnings, really. Started out on a local Virginia station and finished with his global ministry, CBN. He was best known for the 700 Club television show. Was, as I first remember him, as a candidate for president back when I was a kid. Back in 1988, he was seeking, of course, the GOP nomination. But so many things to his credit, his work at Regent University, the American Center for Law and Justice and Operation Blessing, that was also widely recognized. The Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN, went on the air in October of 1961. And now, many of you would remember this, his wife, Dee Dee, Adelia Dee Dee, passed away a year ago April. Sandy, I looked that up. We were talking about when it was that she passed away, and I knew it was somewhat recently, but it was over a year ago now, just this past April. They were married in 1954. So you do the math on that. They are survived by their four children, Timothy, Elizabeth, Gordon, and Anne. They have 14 grandchildren and 24 great-grandchildren. I always wanted to meet Pat. I guess now it will happen in glory, but certainly I would say a life well-lived in the passing of Pat Robertson, CBN founder, passing away this week at the age of 93. Not saying that Pat did not say some things that raise some eyebrows sometimes, and we all know that, but I'm certainly not beating up on a brother who has passed away, but I know there were many times that the media would take advantage of something that he said and maybe even, you know, try to twist it or maybe just sometimes he did say things maybe in a way that he shouldn't have. I've never met a perfect person aside from our Lord Jesus, but I certainly certainly can attest to, like so many of the good things that he accomplished for Christian media here in America. News out of from the Daily Signal. We said we'd talk about Donald Trump, President Trump, former President Donald Trump, announcing just last night, Thursday evening, that a federal court in Miami has indicted him. The indictment currently sealed. However, Trump connected the charges to documents he held after leaving the White House. He released a statement about the charges that he posted on his own media, Truth Social, saying this: "The corrupt Biden administration," this is Donald Trump, "the corrupt Biden administration has informed my attorneys that I have been indicted seemingly over the boxes hoax, even though Joe Biden has 1,850 boxes at the University of Delaware, additional boxes in Chinatown, D.C., with even more boxes at the University of Pennsylvania, and documents strewn all over his garage floor where he parks his Corvette, and which is, quote, secured by only a garage door that is paper thin and open much of the time." The headline here goes on to say, multiple reports stated that there are seven charges in the indictment, including possible obstruction of justice for allegedly making false representations in a sworn statement to the FBI and the grand jury and whatever else they can throw in and make a story about, right? As Trump noted, Biden faces a classified document scandal of his own, remember? And former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton escaped prosecution for her own abuse of classified documents using her insecure email server, but we don't talk about that. In the statement, Trump said he would appear at the court on Tuesday. The Daily Wire saying that President Biden has yet to provide an interview for the Department of Justice investigation into his handling of classified documents. That according to three sources that are familiar with the matter, sources telling NBC there are few signs that the inquiry into Biden is winding down. These three insiders saying Biden's advisors have decided Biden will provide an interview to the investigating special counsel, Robert Hur, but only when terms are agreed upon between Biden's legal team and the DOJ, Department of Justice. So enough of those two for now. I'm sure there will be some things that come back up here, but we are inside of the final 2 years here of the President Biden presidency, and some people on the right are coming out swinging, running for president. You may have heard that earlier this week, former Vice President Mike Pence officially launched his 2024 bid for the Republican presidential nomination that happened this past Wednesday, clearly stating that the party and the nation should never, quote, never allow his one-time boss, former President Donald Trump, back into the White House. Those were his words. Because there is so much other to get to here today, we just decided to not run the audio, but just sharing the story here, reported straight from the Washington Times. Mr. Pence saying that Trump scored conservative wins as president, but started to lose his way as he pressured his vice president to overstep constitutional authority and refuse to certify Joe Biden's 2020 presidential victory. He said, "The American people must know that we will keep our oath to support and defend the Constitution, even when it is not in our political interest," Mr. Pence said at his campaign launch at the Des Moines Area Community College, where we happen to be on the air right now, as a matter of fact. He said that anyone who puts themselves over the Constitution should never be president of the United States, and anyone who asks someone else to put them over the Constitution should never be president of the United States again. That from Mike Pence. Pence is sharing some of the spotlight this week with former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, who also have made official bids for the Republican presidential nomination. You know, we all know Mike Pence quite well, with having been the vice president and, standing for so many things, and a self-professed Christian as well. And we'll just have to see, where the country goes with this. And I will set that one aside. Many opinion on Pence and his running for president. From the News Network, unfortunately, this happened a week ago. President Joe Biden fell on stage at a commencement ceremony at the U.S. Air Force Academy, and it prompted Texas GOP Representative Ronnie Jackson, a former White House physician. He was a former White House physician to Presidents Barack Obama and Donald Trump. He declared that Biden is, quote, not fit mentally or physically and should not seek re-election, saying that part of the job of the President of the United States is to inspire confidence and project power, and he's not doing that. He can't do that. He's too old to do that, and I think it's a shame. I think his lack of physical ability and his physical decline is now starting to highlight the cognitive decline that we've all been watching for so long. It's a package that just doesn't sell around the world, and it's becoming a national security issue. We have to do something about this. To think that this man thinks he can be president at the age of 86, as he's 80 right now, and could be in office for another 6 years, is just malpractice on part of the White House in the West Wing to allow this to be happening, for him to even be talking about running for another term. Somebody needs to be held accountable. People like Jill Biden and people that surround him and are supposed to love and care about him, they should be doing something about this, and they should be stopping this because it's a shame. That is from Texas GOP Representative Ronnie Jackson, former White House physician to Obama and Trump. Some pretty harsh words, but friends, it is troubling if you saw the video. This is radio, we understand that, but if you saw the video of what was going on. Now, can a man stumble? Can a man have a misstep? Of course, but what Jackson is saying here is he's applying this along to all of the other things that we've all been witness to these past couple of years. We're almost up to a break here. Here's something from Newsmax. The main reason President Joe Biden is seeking re-election is to protect his family. What? To protect his family against criminal investigations, as nothing else makes any sense. That from Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, telling Newsmax. His own party doesn't want him to run again. That from the Oklahoma Republican, Mullen. Mullen's comments came as Biden's family members have come under scrutiny these recent months, with House Oversight and Accountability Committee Chair James Comer out of Kentucky pushing an investigation into claims that payments from foreign entities ended up in the bank accounts of 9 members of of Biden's family. I'm sure surely this is not true. So, we shall see what happens there. But many are saying, you know, can we not at least have a debate about maybe someone else possibly running on the Democratic side, challenging Joe Biden? Can we not even have that conversation? There have been some, I would say prominent, but some well-known people on the left saying, can we have this conversation? We need to talk about it. Can we have a debate? And crickets from the White House. Well, that music says that it is time to go to a break. We will step aside, come back, and continue with these news headlines when Crosstalk continues on the VCY America Radio Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now we know there are volcanoes here on Earth, but are they found anywhere else in the solar system?
Chris, we find evidence of volcanism on all the rocky planets and many of the moons. Our own moon gives evidence of much volcanism in times past. Recent studies of Mars show that huge volcanoes were there as well. On the moons of the gaseous planets, some may even still be active. It appears to me that much of this volcanism is associated with meteorite impact. I wouldn't be surprised that at the time of the flood, the whole solar system got bombarded by meteorites. Remember the big picture of creation thinking. A very good creation, perfect in every sense, ruined by the introduction of sin and the curse on all of creation, and then restructured by the flood of Noah's day. Often God used natural causes to bring about his supernatural intent. And that's the way I see it from a back to Genesis perspective.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
We're back on the VCY America Radio Network Friday News Roundup and Comment. God willing, we will open the phones here in a little while and allow you to weigh in on, what is this, crosstalk? You're part of this as well. But several headlines we need to get to here. And I did promise we've got to get to this happy story out of Oklahoma. Those ladies on that College World Series softball championship team, the Sooners there, winning their third straight championship last night, and the press conference that was held, obviously post-game, and the wonderful things being said there about how it's all happening. It's so encouraging, and we want to get to that story here coming up. One more about President Biden here. We just shared several stories before the break. This one from the National Review. President Biden yesterday, Thursday, brushing off allegations that he was involved in a bribery scheme involving a foreign national back when he was vice president under Obama. He questioned, "Where's the money?" "I'm joking. It's just a bunch of malarkey," Biden said. That when a New York Post reporter shouted a question about an FBI whistleblower document that details the allegations. There's a lot of smoke around that man, and where there's smoke, there's often fire, unless they've brought in a smoke machine or a fog machine like we had to unfortunately endure for the last 4 years under Trump. If you can't get him on something, many believe that they should just make stuff up as they go. Here is one from another one from National Review. The FBI has provided the entire House Oversight Committee with access to a reliable informant's report implicating now President Joe Biden in a bribery scheme. Director Christopher Wray had been resisting full committee disclosure, citing the concerns about the informant's confidentiality and the imperilment of an ongoing investigation. And again, that's what Biden was saying is a bunch of malarkey. Let's head down Georgia way from just the news. Georgia Republican Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene on Thursday revealing the contents of a document detailing the alleged bribery scheme involving Joe Biden. After weeks of resistance, the FBI finally permitted the members of the House Oversight Committee to view the form FD-1023, which includes allegations from a confidential human source detailing the alleged pay-to-play scheme. At issue is Ukrainian oil company Burisma, which was facing an investigation from Ukrainian prosecutor General Viktor Shokin in 2016. The company hired Hunter Biden to, quote, make the problems go away, Marjorie Taylor Greene said, and that's what they specifically said. Burisma's owner also said that he paid $5 million to one Biden and he paid $5 million to another Biden, Greene continued, all a bribery to get Shokin fired and end the investigation into Burisma. Marjorie Taylor Greene indicating that the Burisma owner retained records of the payments to the Bidens. Some would remember Viktor Shokin was removed from his post back in 2016. More from Just the News. The conservative revolt in the Republican-led House is continuing, effectively shutting down voting on the chamber floor in a stark rebuke of Speaker Kevin McCarthy and the debt ceiling deal that he brokered with President Biden. Florida GOP Representative Matt Gaetz, a ringleader they're calling him, the ringleader in the revolt, declaring House leadership couldn't hold the line. Now we hold the floor. Roughly 12 House conservatives are behind the revolt, which began Tuesday when they voted no on a procedural rule to pave the way for a final vote on at least one prized GOP bill to stop the Biden administration's efforts to curtail the use and sale of gas-powered stoves over pollution concerns. We don't have any bigger problem in America right now than stoves. We've got to stop the stoves, the cooking stoves in our kitchens. This was the first time a procedure rule vote for debate had failed in more than 20 years. Then on Wednesday, GOP leadership was forced to cancel all votes for at least the remainder of the week as a result of the standoff. I'm sure that one, some of that one will continue as well. National Review, Louisiana. We went from Georgia now to Louisiana. Lawmakers there have passed legislation that would ban sex reassignment for minors claiming to be transgender. Hormone treatments, puberty blockers, and surgeries intended for children would be outlawed under the legislation. I'm going to say that one again. Hormone treatments, puberty blockers, and surgeries intended for children would be outlawed under the legislation. The bill's sponsor, Republican State Representative Gabe Furman, said in a statement, "The people of Louisiana have made it clear that our children are worth fighting for." The bill received supporting votes from several Democrats. Governor John Bel Edwards, a Democrat, saying he opposes the legislation, but it passed with a wide enough margin in the Republican-controlled state legislature to potentially override a veto. What does this story mean? It means that parents are standing up against the nonsense and the attack on families, the attack on children, the attack on our future. Louisiana lawmakers doing something, parents doing something, standing up saying, enough, these are not your kids, they are our kids. Parents, we must stand up. Kudos to those in Louisiana and other places who are waking up. And there are many who are standing up, not wanting to cause a conflict, but saying enough. Not wanting to be a bigot or a hypocrite as they are being accused of, but simply saying enough. Let our kids be kids. Keep your politics out of their classroom. Keep your politics and your perversion off of our kids in America today. Here from the Washington Stand, medical experts and detransitioners met members of Congress at the Capitol on Monday to discuss the lifelong damage that America's gender transition industry is inflicting upon minors. A coordination by Representative Doug LaMalfa, the information session aimed to improve member awareness of the issue with an eye toward holding a full-scale public hearing or even to pass legislation to protect children through the House. The developing issue caught LaMalfa's attention after a constituent's daughter was secretly transitioned in school, prompting the mother to file a lawsuit. Here is a school and professionals and teachers and whoever at this school that kept a child's transition a secret without ever talking to the parents. How many of you can remember a time where they wouldn't even allow your child to take an aspirin at school without parents' approval? And now they're working, purposely working to help see kids be transitioned, meaning that if you have a little girl and that little girl suddenly thinks that she is a boy, okay, well, we will help you take care of that, but we won't tell your mommy and your daddy. Friends, that's what stories like this is about. LaMalfa has introduced the Protecting Children from Experimentation Act. It's H.R. 3328. It's similar to laws that protecting minors from gender transition that is now enacted in 19 states. And the End Taxpayer Funding of Gender Experimentation Act, that's H.R. 3329, which would prohibit federal funds from subsidizing the experimental procedures. Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas has introduced companion legislation in the Senate. And I think that is where we're going to end that one for now. But you know why these stories are up now? Because someone is standing up. And it's about time. It's about time. Here's from Washington Examiner. Michigan's courts could be required to use lawyers and parties' personal pronouns after a hearing on a state Supreme Court proposal on Wednesday. The Michigan Supreme Court proposed a change to its rules that would force documents and court proceedings, including how a judge addresses a person to use pronouns, a person's request, rather than those related to biological gender. A rule change would follow guidance from the American Bar Association pushing the use of LGBTQ inclusive language in court proceedings nationwide. We're coming up against the break. I'll get one or two more quickly here. From the National Review again, Judge Robert Hinkle of the Northern District of Florida issued a preliminary injunction Tuesday against the state's ban on gender transition treatments for minors. The number of states enacting limits on treatments such as surgeries has grown in recent months, with states like Nebraska and Texas adopting guardrails. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing a bill into law last month on puberty blockers and hormones for transgender minors. Hinkle, who was appointed to the bench by President Clinton, asserted in the Doe versus Lopato opinion that gender identity is real. In his view, the overwhelming weight of medical authority supports treatment of transgender patients. Here from the LGBTQ Nation is a report. As GOP-led states continue to ban medically necessary care, that's what they call it, medically necessary care for trans youth and some adults, the governor of Maryland, Wes Moore, has signed an executive order protecting gender-affirming care, saying that in the state of Maryland, nobody should have to justify their own humanity. He said this while signing the order at a Pride event. This order is focused on ensuring Maryland is a safe place for gender-affirming care, especially as other states take misguided and hateful steps to make gender-affirming care cause for legal retribution. In Maryland, we are going to lead on this issue, says Governor Wes Moore. So, making this stand, saying that they're going to lead for the care that is necessary for trans youth and some adults, saying no one should have to justify their own humanity. How many years have we heard those of us who are on maybe the other side of this argument that we are science deniers? We're denying the science. Well, does this not boggle your mind? And how they say no one should have to justify their own humanity. That's not in question. And if there was a question in that, it's such a small percent. And friends, as these past few stories have shown, it's not necessarily you and me that they're getting at now, but they're trying to get at our kids. They're trying to get at our grandkids with all of this nonsense. Well, if you're a boy, you can really be a girl if you wanted to. Or if you're a girl, you could really be a boy if you wanted. That's where we are. It's not where we're going, friends. It's where we are. God help us. And you know what? He's willing to. There's some hope for us today. We'll come back after the break. This is Crosstalk.
The rise of fentanyl overdose deaths is skyrocketing and has been the leading cause of death in adults ages 18 to 45. Street drugs have been laced with it, creating new lines of counterfeit pills. Fentanyl is 50 times stronger than heroin and 100 times stronger than morphine. Sadly, many looking for their next high are experimenting with fentanyl and losing their life as a result. Addressing the issue from a biblical perspective is Mark Shaw, founder of the Addiction Connection. In his 33-page booklet, Fentanyl, Mark examines many topics including pain management, what God says about drugs, why people are overdosing, and hope and answers from God's perspective. He addresses issues of the heart which lead many to addiction. The booklet, Fentanyl, is available for a donation of $6 or three copies for $15. Call VCY at 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Radio Network. In for Jim Schneider, I am Dalton Windsor on this Friday, June the 9th. June the 9th, friends. How quickly 2023 is rolling on. It is hard to believe that we are at this point, but many of us, especially here in the upper Midwest, they're glad to see all that the spring season brings and the beautiful sunshine. We could use a little bit of rain, to be honest with you, here at headquarters in southeast Wisconsin, and I know that that's the situation in many of the states where we are on the air, just missing the spring rains. And even in our area here, being very behind for our rainfall rate for being in this month of June. And so many folks in many places are praying for rain. We need that for the crops. And so, you know, we'll see. We do have a little bit in the forecast coming up late this weekend, possibly into the first part of the new week, Sunday and Monday. We'll see. We'll see what happens. See what happens there. Here from Just the News, as we continue on the stack of headlines here, Ireland. Ireland is weighing calling 200,000 dairy cattle to meet climate goals, but says that the decision is not final. The Environmental Protection Agency reporting that Ireland's agriculture sector was responsible for 38% of national greenhouse gas emissions in 2021. According to a report late last week, cows would have to be culled at a cost of approximately $650,000 to taxpayers over the next 3 years to meet climate emissions requirements. Last month, the European Commission announced approval of paying $1.6 billion to buy out livestock farmers in the Netherlands. So a little little dose of some ag news for you here on Friday. Let's see anything else related to that. Here's a jobs report. Again, I'm just rolling through headlines here. Thanks to Sandy for compiling so many of these stories throughout the week. Western Journal saying a number of Americans who filed new unemployment claims increased more than expected to $261,000 in the week ending June 3, that from the Department of Labor. It's the highest number of initial jobless claims since October of 2021, when 264,000 were filed. The report suggests that the labor market is beginning to exhibit indications of a slowdown. Here's one from the Daily Caller. The Biden administration pushing to give veto power over major Pentagon contracts to a group of climate activist groups that advocate for establishing guardrails on economic growth. The administration proposed a rule in November that requires major contractors for the Department of Defense, NASA, and Government Services Agency to submit climate-related goals to a consortium of activist organizations called the Science-Based Targets Initiative. If the SBTI, that's what they call that, Science-Based Targets Initiative, if the SBTI rejects the contractor's plan to reduce emissions, the company would no longer be eligible to compete. However, the group behind this SBTI are part of the Global Commons Alliance, a climate activist network that seeks to limit economic development and set up international watchdogs to monitor climate pledges of government and private companies. The alliance, advocate for limits on consumption, redistribution of resources between rich and poor people, and a more ambitious set of goals to mitigate perceived changes to the climate. Additional scientists involved in the alliance have argued for the need to limit Earth's population. I'll start this over. Additionally, scientists involved in the alliance have argued for the need to limit Earth's population, that would be human population, to preserve the climate. We must cut down on human population to preserve the climate. We're not going to preserve the human race. We just want to preserve the climate. Speaking of that, I'll jump ahead here to a story because we've just got to get to this one. By the way, phone lines are open, 1-800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on any of these stories, 1-800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Speaking of the human race, again, these globalists are talking about needing to cut down on the human population, the Earth's population. It didn't say the word human. I added that for my own better understanding, that there are scientists who say we need to limit human population to preserve climate. Well, maybe this is how they're going to do it, listening friend. Here's a headline from Children's Health Defense. You've heard about AI. Jim has been talking more and more about artificial intelligence here on Crosstalk. We had, wasn't it Alex Newman that was on week two back or so? Great show on that. Go to crosstalkamerica.com, crosstalkamerica.com, and search for that show with Alex Newman talking about AI and artificial intelligence. Listen to this headline. AI could lead to human extinction. Nearly 300, quote, experts are warning. On Tuesday, 80 artificial intelligence scientists, AI intelligence scientists, and more than 200 other, quote, notable figures signed a statement that says mitigating the risk of extinction from AI should be a global priority alongside other societal scale risks such as pandemics and nuclear war. We understand what a pandemic is. We understand what nuclear war is, unfortunately. They are saying that we should have as equal of an understanding of AI as we do on all of these other things. The one-sentence warning from the diverse group of scientists, engineers, corporate executives, academics, and other concerned individuals doesn't go into detail about the existential threats that are posed by AI. AI, like it's some kind of a entity all of its own, like man had nothing to do with it. But it seeks to open up discussion and create common knowledge of the growing number of experts and public figures who also take some of advanced AI's most severe risks seriously. That according to the Center for AI Safety, a U.S.-based nonprofit whose website hosts the statement. You're hearing more and more about AI. If you're watching the nightly news, they're talking about AI, and they're not telling us, they're only telling us what they want us to know about it. There very well may be some very positive things that come from AI, but a headline such as this makes one perk up and say, oh, something else we should be afraid about? Something else to be concerned about that AI is going to, here's the headline, could lead to human extinction? Well, let's talk to God about that one, the Creator about that one. We'll see where that headline goes. Looks like, is it James? James is in Wisconsin. James, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I heard you talking about the transgendering of children. I would like to remind Christians of that no church history of a document called the Didache, D-I-D-A-C-H-E. In the Greek, it means teaching of the 12. And in chapter 2, verse 2, not only does it say thou shalt not commit abortion, it also says thou shalt not corrupt young boys. And this has been the position of the early church. I didn't say it. The apostles did.
All right. We thank you for your call. I'm not sure that I got all of that over into my ears here, but I know what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, that no harm should come to these little ones. And I don't know if you were being pro. I don't know if the caller was being pro toward. Are you being pro towards changing these young people?
Not. Okay. I am not at all.
Yeah. So, yes, we're in agreement then that, you know, we let them grow up as God has created them to be.
Well, yeah. I mean, read Romans chapter 1. I didn't write it. Paul did.
Yes, correct. Correct. And we should not bring, any harm to these young ones or any of this indoctrination that we are seeing. Thank you for the call. We certainly appreciate it. 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829 if there's anything that you would care to weigh in on here today as we just look at headlines that some of these that do simply that just simply breaks your heart as we were talking earlier about all of this confusion and and litigation and trouble that is being thrown at children today. Kids just can no longer be kids. They have to be thrown into the political spectrum as kids. They have to be told that, well, you don't have to be a boy. You were born a boy. You physically have all of the parts for that. You're a boy physically, but if you feel like you're not, then you don't have to be, just because they told you that. And there's that seed of doubt that gets planted in these very young minds, and so much confusion. And I'm not trying to be insincere here. None of us are trying to be insincere. And we recognize and would acknowledge that there could be sometimes some, in some cases, some mental illness or something like that. But we always, of course, are weighing on the side of creation, the Creator, God's Word, and that God doesn't make mistakes. You were created how you were created. God has never said, oops, aren't you glad? He's never made a mistake, and you listening, friend, you're not a mistake. We're so thankful for the truth we find in God's Word that is fair to all of us who are just simply willing to hear Him and go to Him for His counsel, for His forgiveness, and for His love. Mike is in Michigan, I believe. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Better than I deserve, as I've heard it said. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Okay, so I think it would be kind of neat if you guys could do like a breakdown. You know, because like Stalin, he tried to get rid of the food. He tried to get rid of like the peasant farmers, you know, because like we're going through like the same steps. So I think it would be kind of neat. Like, you know, and Hitler was big on the population control. So I think if you guys could like do a breakdown of like where we're at in the phase that we've already seen history do, I think that would be kind of neat.
So I certainly would listen to something like that. Could I present to you simply, I think we're at the end of it. I think we're about as far down and as broken as we can be when we're taking the most innocent among us and just simply trying to destroy their lives. Thank you for calling. Many would agree. We're just simply trying to destroy that which is most innocent among us, and it is our children. And you have those in power globally who are saying, they're not your kids, they're our kids. And friends, that's happening in our nation. Elected officials today who think that they know better for your children than you do. Hi, it looks like Dwayne is in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Thank you. West Virginia. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi. I didn't get to catch all of your headlines that you were bringing out, but our local newspaper ran a story the other day.
Can barely hear you, Dwayne. I can barely hear you. Maybe get closer to your phone there. Hello. Hello, Dwayne.
Yes. Our local newspaper ran a story the other day that I'm not really surprised by it, but I'm a little bit shocked by it right now. But there's a school district in Utah, I don't know if it's here or not, that they have banned the Bible in grade school and middle school, and high school could have it, but they're limited as to what they can have. And there's a picture of a mother in there that says, ban porn, not the Bible.
All right, stay on the line here with us. We'll come back after this quick break.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. For television and radio, I've been doing a series on, is Joe Biden a Jesuit ally of Jesuit Pope Francis to bring down America? The evidence is overwhelming, and it not only comes from me, although I am a conservative, Protestant, Bible-believing Christian, I have the evidence, but I also have it from people like Catholic Archbishop Vigano, former Jesuit who denounced the Jesuit order, Malachi Martin, and wrote books that they would eventually work the Jesuits to install a Marxist pope. And now we know firsthand by Catholics themselves, like the Catholic Family News, that Pope Francis is working to destroy Catholics that are pro-life and against the LGBT community. And I've uncovered that Joe Biden for years, including in his inauguration, surrounded himself by Jesuits. You need to learn what the Jesuit order is really all about.
We're back on the VCY America Radio Network. Just a few minutes left in today's program. Friends, it goes so quickly. Just before the break, we're on the line here with Dwayne in West Virginia. He's telling us about a school. He is telling us about a school in Utah that is apparently banning the Bible for their grade school kids. Is that correct, Dwayne? We lost him. Well, I would argue, I think they pretty much banned the Bible a long time ago. I don't know what else, I don't know if this was a Christian school, and stranger things have happened, as they say, but in any event, that's where the attack always is. One more call to Michigan again. Hi, Mason. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Good afternoon.
Hi, this is Mason. And all I wanted to say is I agree with you. We're at the bottom.
Yeah.
And, you know, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And we are equally there. And Revelation talks about there's going to be fires and there's going to be earthquakes and, you know, volcanoes. You know, the volcano in Hawaii is erupting at an all-time rate. The fire in Canada, it's got the air quality on the East Coast so bad, it's terrible. I live in Wisconsin, and the other day, it was sun shining out, and you couldn't see the sun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are there, and people think that America is above and beyond God, and he and she that thinks that is wrong. God is in control, and there's, if you look into Revelation, there's no mention of the United States. So we could be, you know, a third world country pretty soon. It doesn't take much. And you know the fault in California?
Oh, I think we lost you. We got the gist of your call, though. Thank you for calling, Mason. And you know, you were talking about the fires in the north, those and going on in Canada. We just are not going to have time to address that one today in our headlines, but friends, there are those who are already using that toward the climate change argument. We're going to have more on that one, I'm sure, next week. But as these fires burn, there are those who are using this to somehow benefit their arguments for the climate change initiatives that are out there. And many of these global talkers are all in favor of course, climate change, and that there's too many people on the planet, blah, blah, blah. We were talking about that earlier in the broadcast. I'll tell you what we need, friends, and it's what I need, and it's what we all need. It is the cross of Jesus Christ. It is the cross of Jesus Christ. Listen to this for just a few moments. This was last evening, I understand. The Oklahoma Sooners, 3 straight women's College World Series championships, some softball players there. Listen to some comments.
Alex Scarborough with ESPN. For the players, I know you talked about keeping the joy of the game, but I'm curious, it's a long season, right? And you guys have had the target on your back the entire time, the win streak being number one. How do you handle the unique pressure that comes with that? How do you keep the joy for so long when anxiety seems like a thing that could very easily set in?
Well, the only way that you can have a joy that doesn't fade away is from the Lord. And any other type of joy is actually happiness that comes from circumstances and outcomes. I think Coach has said this before, but joy from the Lord is really the only thing that can keep you motivated, just in a good mindset, no matter the outcomes. Thankfully, we've had a lot of success this year, but if it was the other way around, joy from the Lord is the only thing that can keep you embracing those memories, moments, friendships, and all of that. So that's really the only answer to that, because there's no other way that softball can bring you that, because of how much failure comes in it and just how much of a roller coaster the game can be.
1,000% agree with Grace Lyons. I've went through that my freshman year. I was so happy to win the college. I've talked about this before, but I was just so happy that we won the College World Series, but I didn't feel joy. I didn't know what to do the next day. I didn't know what to do for that following week. I didn't feel filled, and I had to find Christ in that. And I think that is what makes our team so strong, is that we're not afraid to lose, because if it's not the end of the world if we do lose. Yes, obviously we've worked our butts off to be here and we want to win, but it's not the end of the world, because our life is in Christ, and that's all that matters. Yeah. I think a huge thing that we've really just latched onto is eyes up. And you guys see us doing this and pointing up, but we're really like fixing our eyes on Christ. And that's something where, like they were saying, you can't find a fulfillment in an outcome, whether it's good or bad. And I think that's why we're so steady in what we do and our love for each other and our love for the game, because we know this game is giving us the opportunity to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And I just think once we figured that out and that was our purpose and everyone was all in with that, it's really changed so much for us. And I mean, I know myself, I've seen so much of a growth in myself with once I turned to Jesus and I realized how he had changed my outlook on life, not just softball, but understanding how much I have to live for, and that's living to exemplify the kingdom. And I think that brings so much freedom. And I'm sure everyone's story is similar, but we all have those great testimonies that have really like shown how awesome it is to play for something bigger. And I think that's just what brings me so much joy. And no matter the outcome, whether we get a trophy in the end or not, this isn't our home. And I think that's what's amazing about it is we have so much more. We have an eternity of joy with our Father, and I'm so excited about that. And yes, I live in the moment, but I know this isn't my home. And no matter what, my sisters in Christ will be there with me in the end when we're with our King.
So. That is Grace and Jada and Alyssa. They are champion softball players, third year in a row from Oklahoma. The Sooners there winning the NCAA Women's College World Series. But friends, did you hear the joy those ladies have? Sometimes we get low on joy. Some of us have none at all. These ladies were boasting of Christ and his cross and what he there did for everyone. See, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. He certainly could have condemned the world. He could have condemned me. But he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And Jesus says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We take up a cross, we die to ourself, we die to our sin, and we find our true life and our true reason for living in Christ Jesus. Friends, we're out of time. The Lord's Day is coming up on Sunday. We trust you'll be in a local Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. God bless you.
You're listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.